Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Bob Glynn, S.J., parochial vicar. It is the 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and the readings are from Cycle C.
Now, for those of you who are in this church for the first time, I'm going to say something very shocking. I'm going to use a dirty four-letter word, which you don't normally hear in Catholic churches, so try to control yourselves. If you don't think you can handle it, put your hands over your ears. The word, this isn't a Catholic church. Well, it looks like one. It's doing a good imposture, is it? But the word is diet. Now, this is a dirty, ugly word to most Americans, as we well know. And it has a right to be, because we know that what we associate with diets, another four-letter word is associated with, to Lent, misery. You have to give up what you like and enjoy in order to have what you hate and don't like. Okay? Yeah, and there's good reason. Now, we ask ourselves, why would you go on a diet? Now, I'll deal with this from the male perspective. So ladies, you can listen and think about your husband or boyfriend as we go with this, all right? Usually, now, those of you who are in university, most of you are not worrying about this yet. Age 40, it all goes downhill from there. Boom, all right? But if you look down, and there looks like something like a basketball that's not fitting into the hoop, it's a good reason for a diet. Or if you cannot fit into your clothes and you don't have enough money to buy an entire new wardrobe the next size up, diet. Now, if you are a real man, okay, so ladies, again, I'm sorry to exclude you, but if you are a real man, you're going to take matters into your own hands, and you will act like a man does. You will sit down and turn on the television, using the remote control, of course. Right? And you will look, because you know on any station for 40 years old and above that you're watching the show, you will have things for senility, things for other things, and things for diets. Okay, you can buy the magic pill, which doesn't work unless you're pretending it works, okay? Or the very expensive meal program delivered to your door, which you could have cooked for, if you know how to cook, for about $100 less. Or the surgery, but that's too expensive. You couldn't buy the clothes, you're not having the surgery, all right? And there's certain problems. So, like a real man, then you think, okay, I'm going to have to bite the bullet. So, for a few days, you just simply go to bed praying that you'll wake up thin. All right, that miracle does not occur. So you take matters into your own hands finally and say, okay. So you begin looking for all those foods you hate, knowing that those are indeed the things you must be eating for the next several months. But you know that if you have dieted correctly, you lose, as the commercial tells you, 30 to 50 pounds in that month. So you're ready. And you start eating those things. And in the first week, you lose 2 pounds. Now, no one has told you that's water weight and doesn't count, right? So you move on to the next week doing brilliantly, and at the end of it, you get on the scale, and you have lost another 1/4 pound. Now, this becomes a moment for discouragement. Then some bright light tells you the word that is even worse than diet in the male vocabulary, exercise. So you give a gasp and think, oh, well, I'm already into the diet 2 weeks. So you run around the block once or twice for the week, winded each time, but feeling victorious. And at the end of the week, you have gained 1/2 pound. Then you say, of course, that's muscle. Okay. And then the real mind comes back to you, because you were slightly insane there for a few moments. And you realize that when you go over to your sister-in-law's house for dinner, you would offend her if you did not eat just a tiny smidge of that coconut cream pie of which she is so proud of. So you just say, I'm on a diet. I'll have a small slice. Well, not quite that small. All right. Then, of course, there is a major male rule. I look at you guys and you know this is the truth. That if you do it, eat it at night when no one sees you, and you eat it very fast, you don't gain weight. This is well known. It's scientific. I'm sure we've proved this at Stanford somewhere. Right. And then you say, well, if I just cheat a little bit here, and then you come to the great epiphany. Who wants to be thin? It's miserable. And then you go back to this, you know, to the happy life. Now, I hesitate to say this, but I must say that the steward in today's gospel, who happens to be a man, that's why I focused on men here, he really, believe it or not, is following male diet logic in the way that he does things. Well, let me tell you why. First of all, I don't know about you, but I have always thought that the steward was a bad guy. Now, why did I think that? I'm sort of simple-minded. It calls him unjust, dishonest, and all that. So that's how I got that he wasn't a good guy. But, you know, he must have been a good guy. One, because he gets hired by a rich man, so he must have some talent to do this, to be the accountant. And secondly, he doesn't have a reputation of being dishonest, or the rich man wouldn't have hired him, because the rich man wouldn't be rich if he was hiring incompetent, dishonest people. Okay? So something happens here. I'm going to try to guess what it is. He's going along doing his job, because he must have had it for a while, because how could he be wasting the living if he'd only been there for a week? All right, so he's had this job for a while. Well, can you imagine? He realizes how much money this rich man has. Oh, he's really rich. And then his wife says, you know, the kids don't have enough clothes, really. And you're supposed to have a good job there. You're working for somebody rich. And then this house, I'm just blaming the wife because the man's come in for all the bad stuff so far. All right. And really, how can the accountant to a rich man have a house like this? I mean, this is a disgrace. So he thinks, she's right, I'm not being paid enough. And this guy, he's stolen the money anyway, hasn't he? He couldn't be rich otherwise. So he says, he'll never miss it. He'll never, it's just a little pittance. And then, of course, one little pittance leads to the next little pittance because, well, if nobody sees you and you do it really quickly, then it doesn't have any effect at all. Until finally, the rich man does know, because all those people who were saying, yes, yes, you're doing fine, somebody narks on him. Okay, and he learned. Now, we make a serious mistake, and it's been mine all along until today. The rich man, while he is in many parables God, in this parable he is not God. Okay, because otherwise, this parable makes zero sense. And this parable actually does make sense. Is the rich man recognizes his own kindred here. And he says, when he's done this little routine, he said, okay, you were stupid enough to get caught, but this was smart. Yeah. You're writing down this. I could learn something from your playbook here. And so, this guy, who probably was a good enough guy, the steward, to start with, has moved himself slowly to a point where he has to say, okay, now I get it. This is the way it works. And it's going to work this way for me. And why does he do that? Well, one, it's worked, and the other play didn't. But secondly, because He's afraid. He tells us, I can't work. I can't dig. You know, I can't be put at that house. I don't know. What will I do? And my wife and my kids and all this. I mean, I have to be thinking of them. And at the end of the day, his security becomes his excuse. The reason that he does everything. And the thing that will indeed make him acceptable to all the powers that be in the world. And he will indeed have his reward. But the parable is not about that kind of winning. The parable is about freedom. And it's the one thing that he does not have. Because if we act only out of security for safety all our lives, we never meet God. Because God is freedom. If we want security, we can't have freedom. If I want it all to work, if I don't want to really want to work very hard for it, and I just want it to be okay, and I want to get along like everybody else does, then I can't go for freedom. And God calls us really not to be secure, but to let the truth set us free.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, a regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glauber, with music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at web.stanfordcatholic.org or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.